Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very, very accomplished professional, Rajesh Ramakrishnan, with me. Rajesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Rajesh is an engineer from BITS Pilani and he's an MBA from XLRI. And he's currently the managing director of Perfetti Fanmail India. Rajesh, tell me a little bit about your early work, some of your learnings and some of your challenges.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ashutosh, once again for having me on this session. Pleasure to be here. I started my career way back in 1994 and joined Reckitt and Coleman in those days. Spent a good 8 years there, formative years. Went through the drill of management training and then into brands and management training in places like Gulbarga and North Karnataka to start with. Mm-hmm. Then ASM for Orissa and then to Bihar in the days when there was no mobile phone. And then into upcountry Tamil Nadu, which was a very completely different kind of market. So managed to get a good sense of, what true India is in those days. Mm-hmm. And of course, a very, very strong foundation in sales and then moved to marketing. What I also realized is that sales stint in companies like Reckitt and Unilever teach you not just about sales, but teach you a lot about life as well. Right. When you're stuck in some of these places like Bagalpur and Sasaram without network, without electricity. So great learning, great grounding in life as well. Mm-hmm. Spent about 5 years in sales, moved to marketing, worked on brands like, I remember Cherry Blossom was my first brand, shoe polish with the Charlie Chaplin communication. Yeah. Then worked on brands like Robin Blue, yeah. Vanish. So spent good 8 years in Reckitt's, spent a couple of years in Marico. Mm-hmm. Again, working on some really nice brands, Shanti, Amla, Parachute Innovation. So did 2 years there. Again, a great company to work for, an Indian company which has grown in a multinational way. So some very good experiences there. And then I shifted to Frito-Lay, PepsiCo. Yeah. So there I was heading up Kurkure and Leher Namkeen. Mm-hmm. Again, probably I would say very, very good 6 years there. Solid grounding in, leveraging my marketing skills. Worked on building Kurkure as a strong brand. And then also did a brief stint outside of India in Bangkok, where I was leading regional innovation for non-carbon.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Asia. So again, that was a very interesting experience. What? Yeah. So those were the first three jobs, I would say.
Okay. So, Rajesh, with so much experience in FMCG brands, tell me what goes into building a successful brand?
Yeah, I think, if I were to synthesize from all the learnings, I pretty much there is a common thread that one can see. Hmm. I think it's fundamentally starts with the consumer. So having a very good, strong understanding of the consumer, I think that's the most fundamental thing. And, usually it's about saying understanding consumers' needs. I would even go one step to say anticipate consumer needs, right? Sometimes consumers don't know what they don't know. Hmm. So it's very, very important to also have one step ahead of the consumer to even anticipate their needs. I'll just give you a simple example and I'll just then go back to the couple of other points. Mm-hmm. Like in Perfetti, a lollipop which has got a chewing gum inside the lollipop. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are trying to understand consumer needs, that kind of an innovation will not come out from them because they don't know about it, right? So sometimes it is also about a little bit of anticipating the needs, a little bit of seeing what's happening around you and then mm-hmm. seeing constantly how you can delight the consumer. So we launched a super gum-filled lollipop, and that's one of the biggest successes of the last few years, right?
So I think it's about based on a lot of research.
We do, but I think it's a combination of research and gut. End of the day, research can only tell you so much, but then it's a combination of the two. So I think one is about strong understanding of consumer and fitting consumer needs. Mm-hmm. The other is able to translate that into differentiated products, right? End of the day, you have to give product offerings which are differentiated and which consumers can, experience and enjoy. Mm. The third part is around our ability to build strong, iconic brands, mm. right? Because, consumers want to gravitate towards brands that they can trust. Mm. And brands, in turn, need to roll in the life of the consumers. Correct. So how are we able to do that in a consistent manner over a period of time? Mm-hmm. And last but not the least, I think making sure that your product is available at arm's reach.
Correct. So, Rajesh, tell me, you told me about what really goes into building a successful brand. you know, my experience has been that brands are really living beings. And you have to keep on giving them a lot of inputs all the time. Based on your experience, how can brands stay relevant for a long period of time?
One of the most important things, I think, is how can brands continuously reinvent themselves, right? While still staying true to the core thought. I mean, you have so many brands which have lasted for decades in the country and outside as well. And one of the common threads you will find is they have a certain larger purpose that they stand for. Mm-hmm. Now, that stays true over the years.
Correct.
What happens is the manner of communication, the tonality, and some of the other things get constantly re-innovated, keeping in mind the changing trends and the evolving consumer needs.
Correct.
So, I think it's all about reinvention and staying relevant to today's context.
Very interesting. And, you know, with this entire onset of the digital world, you know, every brand is now feeling the impact of the digital world. How can brands succeed in the digital world?
Yeah, I mean, to me, if I look at it, digital is another medium, right? So fundamentally, again, going back to the principles, I think brand needs to stand for something and should be able to communicate that idea in a meaningful and engaging manner.
Correct.
In fact, the power of a good idea is when it is media agnostic, right? So the idea is a strong idea.
Correct.
And then you say that, okay, I've got television, which gives me my reach. And therefore, I need a 30-seconder or whatever you need to put there. Digital is something that today's consumers are lapping up in a certain way. So even within digital, and I know we use a broad brushstroke for digital.
Correct.
But within that, what you do in YouTube could be completely different with respect to what you do with Instagram or Snapchat. Because each of these medium have their own quirkiness, idiosyncrasy, format. And therefore, I think it's a question of having a agnostic, media agnostic idea and their ability to, implement that in different medium in the most relevant manner.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, now there are the e-commerce platforms everywhere. And I'm sure at Perfetti also you're using these e-commerce platforms. I know I order some of your products on an e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
How are e-commerce platforms changing marketers like you or brand owners like you in the context of what you have traditionally been doing with the traditional mom and pop retailers?
Yeah, yeah. No, Ashutosh, that's a very interesting question, because what you're also finding is that, I mean, if you go back to classical FMCG model, it is have a very good product, make sure you distribute it as much as possible,
right,
give it the pull through good communication, and then the rest of it gets done, right? Now, e-commerce obviously presents a new set of realities. And obviously, it coexists along with the regular mom and pop stores as well. So if you really look at e-commerce, one of the things that's happening is, are you able to provide consumers with something that they would not get in a mom and pop store, right? Because that's what excites consumers in an e-com. So a lot of what you see in confectionery across the world, and India, we are taking baby steps in that direction, is how can I offer customized offerings slightly tailored to the kind of consumer you're looking at. So for example, in abroad, not yet in India, you could order a pizza flavored confectionery served in the form of a pizza,
wow,
right? Because there is an element of customization that's possible in an e-com kind of situation, right? So I think it's more about, again, understanding consumer needs and able to provide them certain experiences which you could otherwise not get. Of course, this provides its own set of challenges in terms of the back end for the companies, but that's something that we need to solve for as a company.
Correct. Very well said. And my next question is on analytics. When I was growing up, you know, we used to have spreadsheets to do various, so therefore there was always a restriction on how much data was available. In today's world, brands seem to be driven by data, analytics, etc. What is your view on using analytics for brand building?
Yeah, I know. I think today, if you look at it, if anything, there is a little bit of overdose of data, right? There is actually too much data. And that's true not only just in marketing, in sales, in supply chain. There are so much data coming in, KPIs, metrics, and so on and so forth. It can actually get quite overwhelming, right? So I'm maybe a little bit old-fashioned on this one. I think it's important to use data, but the way it works for us, right? But end of the day, a lot of the decision making is a mix of gut intuition and data. So I think, you know, nothing can replace intuition, because, you know, that's something that you develop over a period of time. Correct. Sure, data is available, but it is also a challenge to know how and when and, you know, where to use the data. So I think that's a bit of a challenge that all of us are going through as well.
Very true. And, you know, someone who's been in marketing now since the last, 27, 28 years, you've been through different age groups. You know, you must have been a Gen X and then a Gen Y and now the millennials and now the Gen Zs. How are millennials changing marketing and people, people who are running businesses like you?
Again, interesting, because when I reflect upon, you know, how I was just explaining to you that, you know, join as management trainee, do the drill in sales, move to marketing, build a career, so on and so forth. I think those are changing pretty dramatically, I would say. Like, for example, today I meet a lot of marketers who are not too keen on having gone through a sales stint, for example, to move to marketing, because they believe they can pick it up and, you know, run with it. That's number one. Number two, I also find a lot of cases where people are not really interested in building a career in one company over a period of time, right? Because for us, that was important, that you build your career and then move, linearly. Now you find a lot more people happy to jump, crisscross. So do a couple of years here. If they get something good somewhere else, move there, and so on and so forth. Right. So there's a lot more, how shall I say, attention deficit. People are a little bit more impatient to move forward. And they feel it's okay if they have switched jobs a few times. So those are some of the things on one side. But on the other side, of course, you know, we see some of our marketing folks are much smarter, much more media savvy, much more holistic in their thinking compared to, at least, where I can speak for myself, where I was. So obviously it has both sides to it. But for sure, marketers are evolving over the years as well.
My next question is, on multinationals. You spend a time with a lot of multinationals who've been in India for a long period of time. And yet, when I see multinationals operating in other countries, culturally, they seem to be a little different. So how are multinationals adapting their cultures to accommodate the young people of today in India?
You mean from a work perspective? Yeah, see, I think, again, like brands, you know, a brand like a Nike, right, is agnostic whichever country it is in. It stands for certain things, and that is relevant everywhere, or Coke, or, you know, Pepsi for that matter. So I think multinationals also are now trying to get a certain, how shall I say, branding for themselves, right, which transcends geographical and, cultural boundaries. Of course, there are nuances to those countries, you know, where they operate. Yeah. But more and more, you see that, like, for example, even Perfetti, we stand for a certain set of values, which doesn't matter whether you are in Brazil or India or in Russia, right? Those values remain. So core to the company, those values continue to remain wherever you are. And within each country, obviously, there is some nuancing that happens, which, you know, to make yourself relevant to that country. Sure. And I think that model seems to be working pretty well, I would say.
Okay. And, you know, Rajesh, you mentioned that you did a little stint in Bangkok. Well, so my next question is that what makes Indians such good expatriates all over the world? I mean, we're the largest cohort of expatriates in the world.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, there are various theories on this one, but so one is, of course, you know, if you look at India fundamentally, there is a little bit of always more of supply than demand, right? So we all have grown up, making sure that we have to fight our way to get to where we want to get, right? So that's one starting point, I think, where there is a greater hunger for success, right? So that's, I think, one thing. Second is, for the larger population, there is a certain set of middle class values that get inculcated in you right from childhood, you know, hard work, commitment, discipline, and so on and so forth, right? So I think those things are some fundamental starting points which help. And then, in a way, I think maybe, I don't know whether it's good or bad, I find that, at least, I don't mean to generalize, but a lot of Westerners, for them, work is one part of their life, but also they have other things in which they are interested in, and they are happy to sort of toggle a little bit more between those. Whereas we as Indians tend to be a little bit more focused on work as a very, very large and integral component, right? So I think all of those sort of add up to, you know, make us get to where we are. And I think the one last point I would also like to add are, we are extremely adaptable, right? So we, I think situational adaptability among Indian leaders is pretty high because, you know, we quickly are able to assess the situation and get ourselves integrated into the situation in a pretty seamless manner. And I think that just helps in us working through the, you know, the complex world of today.
Wow. Okay. So you think that there are young Indians can aspire to have jobs all over the world?
I think so. I pretty much think so. Yeah.
Okay. So my next question is that, you know, as a senior professional who has, you know, been there, done that, first in sales, then in marketing, for the thousands of people who will hear you and me talking and the young people, what advice would you give them for where they're starting off their careers in the corporate world?
You know, I would say two, three things, right? Basic stuff in, around intellect and all that is hygiene, right? So I'm not even going there. I think the two or three things I would say is be curious. It's very important to, you know, keep that growth mindset and the learning window open. So be curious, be passionate, right? And I think a lot of difference between one person and the other is the amount of passion and energy that you bring to work. And last but not the least, challenge status quo. I mean, you know, question why is something being done the way it is being done and is there a better way of doing it? So I think if you are able to bring some of these into our work, it probably gives us a better right to succeed.
Very nice. So my next question really is, you know, to you as a leader of a large company, and that is relating to gender balance. The Western part of the world recognized gender balance a long time ago. In India, it's come more recently. As a leader, what do you think we can do to correct this gender imbalance?
Yeah, and gender imbalance is a reality. Although I would say that over the last few years, the balance has been tilting more towards getting some better equilibrium. We at Perfetti also have that as a serious agenda that we would like to drive. I think, first of all, while gender diversity in gender is more at the fore, it's about, you know, diversity across any platform for that matter. Right? It's not just, just gender. Right. What that brings to the table is different perspectives, different viewpoints, which will ultimately allow us to take better quality decisions. So from that perspective, I think it's extremely important to have people in your team who come from diverse backgrounds. It can be culture, it can be religion, it can be gender, because that's when you get different viewpoints to the table. And we, of course, in some functions, we are better off than other. And the constant endeavor is how can we get better balance as far as diversity is concerned.
Very nice. So Raj, I'm going to move on to the next section, which is some personal questions for you. My first question is that over the years, are there any people who've had a strong influence on you, and if yes, what have you learned from them?
Okay, I mean, I can think of a couple of leaders that come to mind. One I would say is Indira Nooyi, former chairman of chairperson of PepsiCo. I think what I learned from her is the ability to combine performance with purpose, right? I mean, she's extremely task oriented, business driven, but at the same time, with a very strong sense of purpose of giving back to community, to the environment, and making sure that we are able to drive both together. So that's something that I've learned, and I try and do that in my own work as well. Okay. The other person who comes to mind is Harsh Mariwala of Marico. Yeah. Again, what I have learned from him is he had this mindset of prototyping, you know. And the whole point was just go and try out a few things, right? I mean, we can keep debating it till the cows come home. But if you have some good ideas, just go experiment at a low-cost model. If it works, you find an opportunity to scale it up. If it doesn't, you just learn from it and move on. Okay. So I would say these are two people I've learned from and I look up to.
Wonderful. What would be three adjectives that describes Rajesh?
Passionate. Mm-hmm. Which can be passionate about whatever I do, bring a huge amount of passion and energy to the table. Mm-hmm. I would say ability to balance long-term and short term. Fortunately, I've been able to, over the years, build the ability to toggle between the balcony and the dance floor, so to speak, and very people-centric.
Wonderful. So my next question is that you have products that address children. So my question is that if you were a role model to millions of children who follow your life choices, what would be the one thing you would change in yourself?
Probably more patient. I sometimes do get a little impatient, so that's something that I'm working on. But yeah, there is a right time and place for everything, so definitely a little bit more patience.
Okay, wonderful. The next question is, what is the most outrageous thing you've done? And do you look back at it with pleasure or regret?
Okay, so I am scared of heights, I'm scared of flying and all of that. And there was this ex-brand manager friend of mine, she said, let's go on a trek to Everest Base Camp.
Wow. Okay.
So I've never trekked in my life before that, just maybe a few walks here and there. So I actually signed up and went to the Everest Base Camp on a 14-day trek.
Okay.
So that's probably the most outrageous thing I've done. But it was such a brilliant experience that since then, every year I've been going on a major trek.
Wow.
So the next year I actually ended up going to Kilimanjaro on a trek as well. So yeah, I would probably, that would probably qualify.
You climbed Kilimanjaro?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
2017.
Amazing. So I have time for a couple of more questions.
Sure.
My next question is that how often do you step back and reflect on where you are heading? And do you think self-reflection is good for us?
Well, I'll answer the second question. Absolutely. Self-reflection is one of the most important things, I would say, for us. Fortunately, I got yoga into my life about 5 years ago. And therefore, I've been very, very regularly practicing it. And I find that when you're meditating, the other thing I do very regularly is walking. These are two times when you get a lot of time to reflect. So I would say I do it pretty much every other day in terms of reflecting on either a situation or on the status of things, etc. And that really gives you clarity on could you have done something in a better way or should you not have done something and so on. So I think self-reflection is very, very important to us. And if you're able to do that and then act upon it, I think we'll all be in a good space.
And given the kind of high-pressure work that you do, you know, and the high degrees of accountability that you have, how do you manage your work-life balance?
Yeah, for me, you know, fortunately, I've been able to seamlessly shift between work and non-work. Mm-hmm. So one, I have a few passions in my life. So photography is a huge passion.
Wow.
I do that whenever I get an opportunity. And I think what a passion does is, it, you know, through the day, we go through difficult situations, conversations, meetings, etc., which sort of suck out your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to constantly replenish it to maintain the equilibrium, so to speak, right? So having a passion, whether it is music or sport or anything, helps in that restoring of that balance. So for me, photography is a passion. Like I said, I practice yoga almost every day. I walk pretty much every other day. I love traveling, of course, not in these days, but that's something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So I have a few things which I'm passionate about, and that sort of allows me to lead a much more holistic life.
And Rajesh, my last question to you. Most of us don't face failure very easily. Because, you know, as we've grown up, all middle class homes, we've never been taught that it's okay to fail. My question to you is that what has been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Sure. So I can think of one. I mean, after having spent 16 years in FMCG environment, I got this opportunity to work for Apollo Tyres, right? And it was a global head of marketing kind of role, big role, all good with it. So I said, okay, let me take that opportunity and see how it works out. Thinking that, yeah, the principles of marketing are the same across industries and one could easily, you know, go across, which is true, by the way, because the fundamentals of marketing don't change. But probably where I underestimated was the nature of the industry, the culture of the company, which I also realized that plays a huge role in how you look at things, right? So it's not just about saying, okay, can I turn a tire from a commodity into a brand, which you can of course do, but am I able to settle well into that kind of a culture? And I'm not saying good or bad, it's just different culture. Am I able to adjust to a company where manufacturing comes first versus say marketing and so on and so forth? So I think when you want to get out of doing something into something else, which is always good to get out of comfort zone, but important thing is to probably do a lot more homework in terms of understanding the various nuances of it before jumping into it. So I would say that's one example.
Wonderful. That's a very, very good example. So Rajesh, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success in whatever you do.
Thanks very much, Ashutosh. It's been an absolute pleasure being on this program. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.